Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. My name is Hinda Dah, and I am here with
Abdul Majid.
Abdul Majid, how do you feel about the weekend? Any weekend plans?
I have a lot of weekend plans. I have to sleep, then I have to sleep more.
Very important tasks.
Maybe eat some food and then sleep again.
All right, good to hear. So for today's stories, we have Phoenix Group PLC and Tether to launch dirham-pegged stablecoin. Emiratis in the private sector surpasses 100K, and Emirates Airlines to buy five Airbuses from Doric Nimrod Air 2 for $200 million. Let's move on to our first story. So Phoenix Group PLC, which is a company listed on ADX, is partnering with Tether to launch a UAE dirham-pegged stable coin. And this is supported by Green Acorn Investments Limited, and it aims to enhance the digital economy, not just in the Emirates, but also worldwide, because the CEO of Tether was saying how the Emirati dirham actually has a lot of value, even to people outside of the UAE. And the main purpose of this partnership is to create some options instead of just the US pegged stablecoin. It's to have options with other currencies. And he also believed that the dirham would become a preferred currency as a global, as the global trade shifts.
So yeah, the global stablecoin market, it's projected to go to 150 billion, from 150 billion to 2.8 trillion by 2028. So in the next 4 years, this stablecoin market is going to grow very big. That is why this initiative has been thought upon. It's not launched yet, but soon we will get a UAE-pegged stablecoin. The one in circulation right now, which is more famous, is USDT, and it's by Tether. So that one is there. It's usually $1, goes down to 0.7 sometimes, but it's usually stable. That is why it's called a stablecoin.
Yeah, it's currently at $1.0002.
So maybe the prediction that I can make, or everyone will make, that the UAE one will also be called ADT maybe, or Dirham DT something, but it will have a T at the end. So that stablecoin is going to help a lot, because UAE economy is very stable. We've seen that in the last 10 years, the inflation has been in 0.something%. It hasn't been that much. So that will eventually not affect the coin. So stable coins are usually launched by very stable economies. US dollar is sometimes, it's considered to be the most stable one.
Yes. And another factor is how the regulatory framework of the UAE is so on point, and always they're always
updating
and regulating, basically.
So we did a story recently that the Dubai court also announced that what will happen is that now you can give your salary in cryptocurrency as well. Remember that story? It was a very big story. First ever time in the history of Dubai that they allowed salary to be paid in cryptocurrency. Then this announcement. So things are evolving. Things are becoming very friendly for the cryptocurrencies. Maybe 10 years down the line, you will be paying for your coffee using the dirham-pegged stablecoin. It's a possibility.
Yeah, and I think what would help also the younger generation is to actually learn more about crypto and to be more knowledgeable about it. So I actually got a free lesson by Majid this morning, and it's a very interesting concept. And I think as you said, in the near future, we might see people paying through their cryptocurrencies.
A lot of the countries in the world have actually adopted cryptocurrency across government level. We talked about it earlier. A lot of countries are doing that. The only problem that I see is some countries are still very stringent on the policy. They don't allow cryptocurrency. They're banning cryptocurrency. They don't want a cryptocurrency exchange in their country. So there's a lot of countries that are still not sure
hesitant
about it.
Yeah,
and because the conventional banking system has been here for so long that they don't want to disrupt it or disturb it.
Right.
So UAE peg this stable coin is acceptable here. So I'll give you an example. If I pay someone in UAE pegged stable coin, and the currency I'm sending, or the crypto I'm sending to someone in Pakistan, maybe Pakistan has a ban on crypto exchange and crypto trade. So that way, it won't be possible for that person to take the money out, convert that crypto into real money. So that may be a problem, but soon, the how things are developing, how crypto is becoming more mainstream, soon it will be allowed in every
country.
Yeah,
I think so too. And I think based off seeing how other countries kind of function with crypto and how they deal with the banks and cryptos, it's almost like a battle as like who wins. But I think in some countries like the UAE, they're trying to actually work together in partnership together. And I think that will make other countries see like, oh, it's not really a competition. It'll be good for the overall economy of the country.
And UAE has always been a trendsetter, I think. So if they set a trend, the world will follow now.
Yeah.
They're becoming the trendsetting leader in the world. So it's good. The stablecoin will be accessible globally, apart from the countries which are banned or don't have crypto exchanges. And it will be rooted in UAE's economic strength. It aims to facilitate seamless transactions. Yesterday, I was reading an opinion by a very famous economist in Financial Times, maybe. He said that a usual transaction in banking maybe takes 2 days, 3 days. But on crypto, it takes 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So you can make those transactions quicker. The money that you lose through a transaction when you're doing international transactions, that is lesser. So obviously AEDT, which it's not a real name, I'm just saying it will be maybe called AEDT.
Most probably
there is a chance it can be called AEDT, or they can have a new name for it, no problem. There's 1 million other coins. So it aims to facilitate seamless transactions, reduce foreign exchange risks, which we see is a big problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And provide a reliable store of value, so you can always store your money in the form of crypto as well. And lastly, the UAE's progressive regulatory framework, we already talked about it, supports this innovation, positioning the UAE as the global leader in the digital economy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good
speaking,
for the country.
Yeah, speaking of the UAE's economy, moving on to our next story, the Emirati workforce in the private sector surpasses 100,000 for the first time. So over 100,000 Emiratis are now employed in the private sector, and this is all thanks to the Nafis program, because the whole program is basically their efforts to emiratize or to nationalize the private sector and to employ more Emiratis. And in the past 2.5 years, more than 70,000 Emiratis have joined private companies. So the Nafis program was launched in September of 2021, and it aims to have 10% of the private sector jobs filled by Emiratis by 2026. And judging off these numbers, I think it's reaching there, and I think it will have potential to even surpass the expected number. And it's backed by a 24 billion dirhams in funding and legislative incentives. And this showcases the UAE's commitment to boosting Emirati employment. And also the new policy prioritizing government jobs for those with private sector experience also strengthens the emiratization strategy.
Yes, and the Dubai ruler, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed, he also tweeted on Sunday that all these measures are being done. He was updated about the numbers that first ever time the emiratization program has reaped the rewards, and this number of Emiratis working in the private sector crossed the 100,000 mark. And the good part about it was that he put a timeline on it, that actually he put a metric on it, that any Emirati with 3 years of private organization experience will get a preference for government jobs. So that's also good, that Emiratis, they're already in good number in the government jobs, but the young Emiratis who are coming out of universities, coming out of good big universities from foreign universities as well as Dubai universities, they will get a preference in government jobs if they can gain 3 years of private.
Yeah, and I had a conversation with my friend recently where it's like, we should really prioritize working in the private sector for our first job, you know, right after university, so that in hopefully in the future when we're employed in a government level job or in a you know, you reap the benefits, basically, because it gives you more benefits, is what I'm trying to say.
So yeah, what do you think is what in your understanding is the benefit of working in a private organization? What I feel is private organizations have more competition in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
yeah,
so you get to learn a lot.
That's what I was going to say, is that I think you learn very quickly, very, very fast. And also you you meet people from various backgrounds, and I think that gives you a bonus or a benefit.
So we have an Emirati working with us.
Yes.
Hind.
Well, interning.
Yeah. So Hind basically can throw light, an expert light on how you can.
Yeah, so do you want me to talk about my experience here?
So it's just give us a 1 minute brief.
Honestly, just like what I said, I learned very, very quickly, and the fact that I'm able to learn from colleagues from all over the world is something I really appreciate. And
maybe the experience, like someone has 20 years of experience, someone has 3 years of experience,
yeah.
That experience also helps.
Yes, it does. It does.
Yeah. So yeah, coming right from an Emirati person, that. It is a good policy, and we've seen this same initiative in Saudi Arabia, nationalization also. So nationalization in Saudi is like they want to make the workforce majorly of Saudi nationals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of young people, again, mm-hmm. referring back to that Arab League report, Arab labor force report, that it's increasing, the unemployment in the countries, Arab countries, is increasing.
But at the same time, yeah. they're having all these programs and incentives to attract.
So these programs actually lay the framework for other countries to follow mm-hmm. as well and become better employment countries for their youth.
Yes.
Because across the world, I've seen that youth is increasing. Again, coming back to my country, Pakistan. Pakistan has nearly 65-70% of population, which is between the age of 25 and 35. Mm-hmm. So this big number, Pakistan should have a plan if you're talking about global policy. So every country should have a plan for the youth.
Yeah.
And the youth is, I guess, more equipped now. They're technically sound. They know mm-hmm. all the procedures. They know their apps. They can do something which a normal 20-year experience guy who doesn't want to be associated with technology, they can do the same stuff in 1 hour, which they take like 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very quick. And
yeah.
again, youth brings new ideas.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's
she also
move
brings
on.
A lot of great ideas.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our last story. Emirates Airlines is going to buy 5 Airbus A380s and A61s aircraft from Dorich Nimrod Air 2 for $200 million. Now, we've talked about Emirates the past few weeks. You know, they're changing their interior and everything. But the company, Dorich Nimrod Air 2 Limited, is selling 5 Airbus aircrafts to Emirates for $200 million. And the aircrafts are currently leased to Emirates and will be transferred when their leases expire between October 1st and November 30th this year. And each aircraft will be sold for 30.71 million pounds, which is approximately $40 million. So can you tell us a bit more about that?
They're using it already, but Emirates, I guess, like the planes.
Mm-hmm.
They're very comfortable, so they're like, we'll buy them. So it's a good move. Increasing your fleet with your personally owned planes is always good for any airlines. And Emirates, we've seen over the years, again and again, even this year, the first half report was great. Their numbers are going astronomically up. So it's a good sign that they're adding more planes to their fleet to meet the demand.
Right.
And it's good that sometimes if an airplane has a problem, they will always have a backup.
Yeah. I don't know if this is controversial to say, but I'm glad to see that it's from Airbus and not Boeing, because we have talked about Boeing's recent criticisms, or
problems,
shall I say,
their
problematic planes, their malfunctions. So I don't know, just seeing the name Airbus and not Boeing, it makes me feel better as like somebody who's going to potentially fly their airplanes.
We talked about the trust issue that people will now have sitting in a Boeing plane and sitting in an Airbus. But people who don't have the idea of which plane they're sitting in, because sometimes it is mentioned, it's usually mentioned that which airplane is it that you're going to board.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who know about Boeing's problem will always have some doubt in their mind. Again, we also talked about how air travel is the safest form of travel in the world. Actually, we said that, and unfortunately, the next day there was a plane crash in Brazil.
That is true.
But the numbers tell you that over decades, there's like 5 or 4 incidents. But as compared to travel by road or travel by water, even ferries and ships, those are more dangerous. So you should cross your fingers. But always you can see at the numbers and be hopeful that nothing is going to happen.
Yeah.
It goes through a lot of process. The other day we were also talking about how a plane is manufactured and how long it takes to get approved that this plane is going to go and fly out.
Yeah.
So yeah, and we also talked about how the large cargo ships take a lot of time. It takes like 3-4 years of approvals and audits to finally put that ship on water.
Yeah.
So these things are there. The safety measures are there. Everything is in there. Accidents can happen. Human errors, technical errors are always there. They're part of the scientific method, actually. So yeah, good for Emirates that they're buying new planes. Good for UAE that they're getting a dirham-pegged stablecoin, and Emiratis are now 113,000 strong. They've crossed the 100K mark for the first time thanks to the Nafis program.
Yes.
And this is what we have for you today.
Thank you everybody for joining us. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. You can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, X, all the social media channels. You can also find us on all the podcast channels such as Anghami, Spotify, and Apple. You can also check out our daily newsletter to find out more about the news we talk about on the show. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye-bye.